Because nowadays we have social media, we all want to be influencers. And I know, coming from a person that's trying to influence people, weird. But today we're going to go over Clear Miller and the dark tale of social media.
Ladies and gentlemen of all ages, boys and girls, thank you for tuning in to yet another episode of Angry Me Production. We appreciate you coming in and letting us be a part of your lives, week in and week out. We hope to do our best to present you with something that your eardrums delight in. Whether you're looking at us on YouTube or Rumble, or listening to us on Spotify, Google, or Anchor, or any of the other podcast services that we are currently on or trying to get on, we thank you. And if you don't mind, at the end of every episode, stop by, leave us a comment, leave us a like. If it asks for 5 stars, we'll take 5 stars, even if you don't like us. 5 stars are what it's all about. With that being said, we hope you enjoy our attempt to make our advocation, our vocation. Ladies and gentlemen, let the games begin.
We here at Angry Me Production want to thank our sponsor, Mobile Notary Mindy. She's certified with the National Notary Association. She's also bonded and E&O insured. She offers a wide range of services, including wills, powers of attorney, medical documents, healthcare proxies, living wills, certification of trust, assignment of personal property, HIPAA waivers, advanced healthcare directives, and 99 verification. You can find her on Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram at Mobile Notary Mindy. You can also visit her webpage at TexasMobileNotaryMindy.com. That's TXMobileNotaryMindy.com. Thank you so much and enjoy the show.
Welcome, Angry Faithful. Yes, today, we are going to go over somebody that Maria, one of our fans, had sent me, and I was reading up on it, and it is, it's really scary, kind of like scary. Anyways, let's go into this. Starting this out. Social media has come a long way throughout the years. Now people can use it to connect with people and make content for everybody across the world. So what about when someone wants to become famous for talking to somebody else's life, for taking somebody else's life? What do you do about that person? Is that person still a loved one of the other person, or is just trying to get famous? While it's something most of us has never imagined, it's quickly becoming the case for Clear Miller. Like many, the 14-year-old made herself a TikTok, typically to it was losing someone of her life, skyrocketed Claire's fame to unbelievable levels. And unbelievable, I went over the whole thing and everything. At her max, it was 22,000. So it's nothing. It's... Well, it's more than me. So, anyways, lots of social media sites have come and gone and with the changing of times. However, one that has taken over the world so far is TikTok, developed and made popular by 2022. This social media site has gotten over 1 billion active users. Maybe more. Claire Miller was 14 years old in February 2021. It was, like many of the Gen Z, was on TikTok. It turned out to be a crazy great to monitor the local trends and make a name as influencers and content creators alike. Claire had often spent her days uploading TikTok videos. That is until one day she decided to take a drastic measure and shot her to fame or infamy. Some people have gone about their entire lives only getting a few followers and a handful of likes here and there. Like us. We're still struggling, but we're doing it. We're on it. Anyways, this 14-year-old seemed to have plenty of people entertaining her content with around about 22,000 followers before everything changed. That didn't mean Claire's real life was as glamorous as people saw it online. Like many cases, I see some of them that, oh, we're rich, we're throwing money at people, or we're riding on G5s, which they sometimes not even rent. They just ask somebody that has a G5 if they can get on there and start shipping champagne in the thing and the jet. And in all reality, don't do that. Just having a private plane is just to save you money. Time, not money. It's expensive, so it's not going to save you money. But it's going to save you time, something that's more precious than money. But behind closed doors, Claire attended Lancaster County Day School, a private school in Pennsylvania with over 550 other students. Home life was even less fabulous, as Claire lived with her 19-year-old sister, Helen. Sadly, Helen has diagnosed a cerebral palsy and was confined to a wheelchair. It's believed many always that Claire felt that she has been overshadowed from her life from her sister. Claire was born in 2007 in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and spent her entire life living in the town. She was alone as the teen was joined by her parents, Mark and Mary Miller, alongside her older sister, Helen. However, Helen being born with cerebral palsy meant Helen had often needed frequent assistance in many aspects of her life. Cerebral palsy is actually a collective name of four different conditions that all affect someone's muscle tone and movement. It's caused before someone is born, but is often spotted and diagnosed during someone's younger years. Throughout, there are also a huge difference between severe conditions, with Helen being one of those cases where she's unable to walk. It is no secret to the Miller family that they had a lot to deal with Helen's diagnosis. However, it didn't seem to stop them all from pulling together to ensure that she had everything she needed to strive. There are several reports that claim that Claire was often there for her sister, even if it meant for sacrificing her seat free time, which it's the case with someone like that. Sometimes they can't even eat. Sometimes you have to take them to the bathroom. Taking care of somebody like that is, it's your godsend. I mean, you're there to, hold on. You're there to take care of that person as much as possible because they can't take care of themselves. One of many things that Claire would do is accompany Helen to the doctor's appointment, and she needs frequent checkups to monitor her cerebral palsy. This is also believed Claire would help Helen as much as she could around the house, getting her older sister food, and sometimes she would need help to be happy and healthy. Being a teenager can be tough at the best of times, let alone when you have someone relying on you to survive. Perhaps that's why Claire Miller spent most of her time in her room alone. Of course, this isn't entirely unheard of for teenagers, especially someone who's 14. Coming from my daughter's 18, and she still, when she comes visits or does anything, she goes straight to another room and watches her videos on her phone. Anybody that has a teenage kid, they do that. That's their own little safe space that they can be. But I digress. However, some believe that Claire never wanted to be around other people. Instead of spending time with friends and loved ones, it was reported that Claire would use her free time to upload videos to TikTok. Here, under the name Spiritualist and Such Consulting, Claire amassed thousands of fans who loved watching her content and checking out her as a teenager. most of her videos, Claire Miller. Profile were harmless clips of a teen. Most of the content was her lip syncing to host of audio clips and songs. It did not take long for Claire's fans to realize that the teen loved anime, as plenty of videos featured characters and scenes from Japanese cartoons or Japanese anime. Don't do that to the nerds of the anime group. They're not cartoons, they're anime. It's a whole different genre, even though it's cartoons. Yeah, I did that. That wasn't all. The 14-year-old featured her family in a host of videos. Mark, Claire's dad, was often seen joking around, pulling up funny faces, or playing the guitar. In one of Claire's latest last videos, she captioned the clip stating her dad had to stop opening the conversation with lines about something about just like an LGBTQ bar in Japan. I don't get that joke. I'm kind of wondering what kind of joke that is, because I'm just curious. I am really, really, I should have brought it up. Okay. I guess it's just an inside joke with them. Anyways. Just because most of Claire's TikTok videos were nothing more than a harmless fun didn't mean that they were all that way. Instead, there was some that got people talking for all the wrong reasons. One video and such was less than 30 seconds long, clearly worried plenty of people, as it featured a blood-covered latex glove with a giraffe plushie. There was no one talking in the clip. However, the camera constantly cut to show the giraffe positioned in various way against a tree or on the floor in the snow. On its own, it seemed nothing like too many. However, people later started to wonder if this was a clue about how Claire felt around that time. Now, one thing plenty of people wanted to do is look back at all the videos and find out if they could find anything that was amiss with what Claire Miller was about to do. After everything changed on February 21st, 2021, however, nothing was enough to alert her family, who reported enjoying a normal evening at night. Helen went to her bedroom and quickly fell asleep before Mark and Marie headed to the bedroom of their own. No one known of Claire Miller ever fell asleep before. She put in plan a motion that makes to make matters worse. No one knew if Claire had been planning her next move or if she was spur of the moment tragedy. Whatever the case, there was seemingly no stopping the tragedy that took place in the Miller house. A few hours after everyone headed to bed, Claire Miller snuck into the kitchen, grabbed a knife before heading to her sister Helen's room. Armed, Claire could now go through her attack without anyone finding out. Having cerebral palsy, it was hard for Helen to move without assistance. And exactly 1 a.m. February 22nd, 2021, meaning Helen was asleep when Claire snuck into her bedroom. The younger sister was always going into the to have the upper hand as the tragically attacked her older sister, Helen. Nothing more than one-sided fight. It's sadly common for people to attack their family members. Ariel Castro once locked up her own daughter for 24 years and subject to various assault. Stephanie Hawkins and Stephen Hawkins, apparently a bad person.
Lyle
and Eric Mendez attacked and ended their lives of their parents before spending their inheritance on parents and lavish lifestyles. If you go back, we have a catalog. It's actually two episodes because we went back and reviewed it with one of the people that watched the episode and got upset about it because they said it wasn't their fault. But I digress. That was something many wanted to know, as Claire said about stabbing Helen multiple times. The team then did something strange to Minnie. She covered her face with a pillow. However, many psychologists and criminal psychologists want everybody to know that sometimes the attacker wants to disassociate themselves from their victim, probably by covering their faces or eyes with something. Just 8 minutes after her attack, Claire Miller called the police and confessed everything. At 1:08 a.m., the Manheim Township Emergency Dispatch received a call from a teen that no one expected. While some people tried to cover their tracks or run, Claire wanted everyone to know that she was responsible for ending Helen's life. She said as much as to the dispatchers on the phone and the first responders on the scene of the crime, who arrived just 5 minutes later. Apparently, Claire was even waiting outside for investigators. No one is entirely sure why Claire called the police, but one thing was for certain, she stabbed her sister. And it stuck with the investigators, basically her saying, "I stabbed my sister." Sorry about that. It kind of weird the words. Dyslexia gets in the way sometimes, but hey, we power through. Believe it or not, but the investigators weren't entirely convinced that they were going to turn up with a crime scene. In fact, many of them wonder if Claire Miller had been traumatized by something else at the home and was confused when she called the police. They theorized something might have happened to Helen, but not at the teen's hand. Others began to wonder if it was nothing more than a hoax call. After all, it's not every day a 14-year-old ends their sister's life and mainly calls the police to confess. It wasn't until they arrived on the scene that everyone realized that this was no joke. In fact, the scene was worse than anyone could even imagine on the drive over. It was almost impossible to ignore the fact of the amount of blood on Claire's clothes if she hadn't ended Helen's life. She had certainly been near someone that had passed away in one of the most brutal ways imaginable. Claire was still dressed in checkered pajamas, pants, and a blue cat t-shirt when the officers arrived. However, it was thought to see any details of her clothes as it had been stained. Her hands were covered in blood. Also, the snow around the teenager was covered in blood. Police theorized that Claire used the snow to try to clean some of Helen's blood off of her hands and arms. It was just a true horror show. The police call from Claire Miller was enough to instantly send officers to her house to see if she was telling the truth and if they could save Helen. The administration from the teen outside of her home was yet more confirmed that a tragedy had taken place. Sally, that didn't mean everyone knew what had laid behind the closed doors. It turned out that the girl's parents, Mike and Marie, had no idea that Helen's lifeless body was lying in the other room next to them as they slept while their 14-year-old waited for the police to take her away. That moment came when officers stormed the house. Only then did the Millers learn that Helen was gone, and it was by Claire's hands. Hearing someone confess to a crime, getting evidence about what had happened are two different things. After all, it's not uncommon for people to give false confessions as they admit to something they didn't do. In most fortunate and unfortunate ways, everything Claire Miller said turned out to be true when it came to what happened to her sister. The police quickly entered Helen's room, where they saw the 19-year-old lying on her bed with a pillow over her face. Removing the pillow revealed that she still had the knife stuck in her throat, and she had been stabbed multiple times, just as Claire said. Still had... let's get over there. Tom... I'm going to have to Stephanie Hawking this.
Rodzinski.
Tom Rodzinski and the Manheim Township Police Chief was one of the many who released a statement about the horrible crime. Pennsylvania is filled with plenty of small communities, particularly Amish communities, meaning it is common for everyone to know everyone else and know everyone's business. It was impossible for the area to ignore what happened to Helen Miller. While Tom wasn't part of the team initially to the scene of the crime, he was told all the details. Confessing it, it made him almost instantly upset. To top it off, Tom believed he had never been part of something as sad as this. Saying something as sad as this. Most people struggled to comprehend how Claire could have done something so horrific. There are plenty of things that officers have to do, however, they arrive at the crime scene constantly. Any witnesses and preserving the crime scene are just two on the list, as they are often the most clues about what had happened. Other is trying to see if they can bring someone back when they believe they have lost their lives. That is that was the case with the Miller house, as the officers worked on Helen until the paramedics arrived. Sadly, her injuries were too much, and she lost too much blood. Even the doctors couldn't bring Helen back from the other side, meaning that the 19-year-old was cleared, passed away at 4:13 a.m. It wasn't until Helen Miller's body was taken for an autopsy that they realized the extent of what happened to her while she was asleep. Dr. Wayne Ross was allegedly the one of the most performed the autopsy, and later testified that Helen was covered in multiple wounds across her body. In fact, she had been stabbed 7 times. 2 of these wounds were in Helen's jaw, in the jaw. Another 2 were in her chest, and 3 of them were stuck in Helen's neck. It was reported that the neck one was the fatal wound that ended Helen's life. However, any of them could have been caused enough blood loss to see the teen pass. Every state has its own law when it comes to how people are charged and tried. Many believe taking someone's life is the worst kind of crime, and it appears Pennsylvania might agree. That's because the state tries everyone accused of criminal as an adult, regardless whether they're legal a child or not. In fact, Pennsylvania made history with convicting an 11-year-old of ending his pregnant stepmother's life as an adult instead of a child. While several children have committed such horrible crimes, that they've been tried as adult living in the state alone was enough for Claire Miller to be arrested and charged for ending Helen's life. It didn't take long for Claire Miller to be charged with taking her sister's life, especially after confessing multiple times to the crime. Perhaps that's why it was a little surprise that Claire waived her rights to a preliminary hearing. This is a type of hearing that takes place in closed court before the main trial. The aim is to see if the prosecutors has enough evidence to escalate things to a full trial. The moment came on April 16th, 2021, with Claire appearing via video feed. Here, her attorney, Robert Bear. Bear. Is it Bear? Bear. B-E-Y-E-R.
Bear.
Bear, yeah, like the drug. Or Bear Evil. Love time suck. Anyways, stated the teen had no interest in hearing and instead wanted to continue with the trial regardless of any evidence. There are plenty of steps the court needs to go through. However, someone is accused of a crime. An arraignment that is on the list. This is the hearing where the charges are read in front of the defendant and their team before they are expected to plead guilty or not guilty. Claire Miran's arraignment was initially set for May 14th, 2021. Yet again, Claire waived her right to one and instead submitted a not guilty plea. That wasn't the only revelation. Her attorney was filed a petition to have Claire's charges dropped from being tried as an adult to a juvenile system. There was even talk that Clara and her team plan to submit a potential insanity plea. Clara Miller was in the ninth grade when she ended Helen's life, and didn't take long for Lancaster County Day School to release a statement about it all to the Daily Beast. Here they confessed that they shocked and saddened by the events. They also wanted to know the focus on caring for our students and facility as they proceed process this tragedy. However, it wasn't just the school who were saddened by the news. Mark and Mary Miller also had to precede the idea that they lost not one, but both of their daughters. After all, Claire could be behind bars for the rest of her life. It may have been come to little surprise. No one could understand how the couple felt. It can be said that say a lot about a person's depending on how they react to a situation. Ending a sibling's life is probably something many of us have never considered. And that's not entirely true. Fair amount. We'll go fair amount. Let alone done. However, people have keen to see what Claire Miller would do when she was in a juvenile center, especially as the severity of the situation set in. Police officers John Martin testified that Claire did not appear distraught, sad, or upset the entire time she had been behind bars. This was a clue to many that Claire was unfazed about ending Helen's life, and the entire thing might have been planned after all. However, the circumstances surrounding the crime alone wasn't even enough to prosecute the teenager. Horror movies are some of the many of the loved to see. Unfortunately, many have been blamed for inspiring various crimes throughout the years. While others are based on true horrific events, it appears Claire Miller might be one of the minis who enjoyed watching the films, especially slasher franchise Halloween, starring Scream Queen Jamie Lee Curtis. John Mark, I hate that the people, oh no, they watch horror movies. They're psychotic. Yeah, it's not really. People can differentiate from good to bad things. And sometimes seeing those horrific things can help with the trauma that they've already seen. Anyways, the hearings quickly took place to decide whether what would happen to 14-year-old Claire Miller. John Martin was one of the many people to testify about it all, saying there was once a conversation about getting breakfast for the teen. It appeared Claire was asked what she would like to eat and replied, she said, oh, McDonald's, when she asked for her preference. Disturbingly, Claire reported had an unsettling thing to add to the conversation. Martin testified that Claire spoken about how she would have loved, spoken about how she would have ended someone's life sooner if she knew she was going to get McDonald's. Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, I said some screens and stuff like that, so it's not really weird. Many felt, or I could be like really a closeted case of psychosis. Who knows? Many felt the teen was yet to understand the severity of the situation or feel remorse about what happened to Helen. There was plenty of reasons for the defense team wanted to push for Claire Miller to be tried as a juvenile instead of an adult. One of the many is how Claire would likely receive a less sentence, especially as there's a chance of capital punishment could be involved if she was tried as an adult. Another is how she would be treated. Being tried as an adult means Claire's potential time behind bars would focus more on rehab than punishment. Still, the defense and prosecution have two very different stories. While the prosecution says Claire plotted the attack, the defense states that the teen was a class president and gifted, award-winning student who never found herself in any trouble in school. A lot of people that actually, you know, did good in school and they had everything going for them, they ended up, some of them, a good small portion of them had ended up being like shit bags once I got out of school. Plenty have had a lot to say about what happened to Helen Miller, with most saying that she couldn't, they couldn't believe that Claire would be behind it at all. Someone had shared their thoughts is none other than the girl's mother, Marie. WGAL reports Marie testified, "We love both of them," when talking about Claire and Helen. It is also said that she worries about what had happened to Claire at the trial. Marie continued to state, "Claire didn't mean to do this, and that we don't want her to be punished." Using Helen likely tore the family. Losing Helen likely tore the family apart. I was about to think, it was like, Helen likely tore the family apart. I was like, oh, that's a new opening. But my dyslexia kicked in, so sorry. Losing Helen likely tore the family apart. Now, Marie says the parents don't want to lose Claire, too, by seeing her sent to prison. But things continued to surprise many when Marie Miller said that ending Helen's life was out of Claire's control, pleading believe Mark and Marie might have washed their hands of the teenager after Claire took Helen away from the world. However, it appears the parents would do anything to get their daughter out of prison and away from any charges. Now, this is a personal note, and I'm trying to make this as brief and continue with the stuff. I don't know what it is with certain parents that, I mean, they obviously care, and I don't know if you would call it coddling, but they care a lot for their child. Any parent cares a lot for their child. Now, saying that, I was party of a court case when, because I had babysitted the child for a while, but the boyfriend of the girlfriend, I think that's right, had murdered the child, who was a 18-month-old, bashed the baby's head in. And after the autopsy took place, they found out the baby had a fractured arm, pulled hair, and the fractured skull was what eventually ended the child's life. Now, saying that, during the court hearing, the mother of the murderer was very vocal about how she loved her son, how he could never do this, and the basic fact of she would allow him to work in her daycare, which I don't think she owns a daycare anymore because of that statement. Saying that, some parents don't understand as a child goes through life, they end up having stuff done to them that changes their views and how they become either a savior of the world or a complete and utter shitbag. And they end up, in this case, and in my case, the guy ended up doing a lot of pills. He was a drug addict, and he wasn't really, I want to say, in his right mind of doing what he did, but he was a utter shitbag. So anyways, but the mother of his mother was going, oh, he could never do that, I can't believe this, well, blah blah blah. He went to jail, and rightfully so. He's still serving. So anyways, back to the story of Claire Miller. One of the many things that were revealed during Marie's testimony was how she believed Claire was a loving sister who would never hurt Helen. Instead, the mother claims Helen had often in pain due to her cerebral palsy. According to Miller, Claire did all she could to help Helen feel better and wouldn't dream of ending her life. Plenty of people have been called in the, the bottom of wine clear mirror had ended her sister's life. This isn't helped by Claire not providing a motivation for the crime, meaning the defense now had to rely on outside sources to build a case. Susan Rush and Elena Kahn are two physicians who had worked with Claire. They testified that they believe Claire was living with auditory hallucinations. These are types of hallucinations that that see people hear no. Okay, I'm gonna remove that. That people hear noises and sounds that aren't there, according to Kahn and Rushing. Claire was told that she needed to cut her own throat the night she ended her sister's life while she slept. This is allegedly what resulted in the mix-up. What the hell? Claire was told that she needed to cut her own throat the night she... That happened. We'll just say that happened. The auditory hallucinations were just to start the diagnosis that came Claire Miller's away. Susan Rushing and Elena Kahn also concluded that the teenagers had been living with a host of mental issues over the last few years, according to Kahn and Rush. Claire had major depressive or psychosis and anxiety, which were affected her judgment. The doctor continued to work with Claire for several hours to understand what triggered these issues. When things all started, according to Kahn and Rushing, it was a combination of things. For one, they believe Claire lives with gender dysphoria. Okay, hold on. We'll just get over that. It might come to a little surprise that prosecution had very different stories to tell about what they think happened the night Claire Miller ended Helen's life. They claim there is plenty of evidence that Claire spoke to her friends multiple times about her desire to end someone's life. The prosecution also claims there was no psychotic break. Alongside with the 1,000 supposed texts, the prosecution says that Claire would often discuss taking her own life and how much she wanted to know what it was like to commit such a crime. Prosecutors even went as far as to say Claire was obsessed with the idea. If that there was the case, Helen had been the easy target. One of the many pieces of evidence that police have at their disposal is the 911 call where Claire Miller initially made to report she had ended her sister's life. Being the one that makes the call means that her voice and words were analyzed to see if the teen was genuinely distraught by the crime and already plotted an alibi. It's reported that Claire was hysterical during the phone call and was equally as disturbed when officers arrived to the Miller house on February 2021. Many on the teen's side said that the evidence Claire was immediately distraught was she realized what she had done. Other cynics said it was the teen's way of covering her tracks. Forensic psychologist called John O'Brien is another person that had asked to work on the Claire Miller case. However, this time John was working for the state instead. It turns out that a very different version of what the teen was feeling and was going through the moment she had ended her sister's life. John claimed that he couldn't diagnose Claire with any mental issues in particular that wasn't at all. Although the psychiatrist claimed the teen showed a handful of mid symptoms during testing, he said this isn't unusual in a teenager. To top it off, John said that the prison medical provider described Claire as normal behind bars. Just because the prison official described Claire Miller as being normal doesn't during her time in the prison didn't mean that anything was entirely straightforward. John O'Brien continued to testify the disturbing behavior that happened the night Helen lost her life. According to the psychologist, Claire continues spoke about her hallucinations and how they had been blaming it all. John also added Claire described gaps for air at some point. The psychologist isn't convinced. Instead, he described Claire's behavior as a night and day difference between how it is like for her sessions compared to notes from people working at the prison. Could the teenager really be putting on an act before her trial? Perhaps Claire Miller behaved towards losing her sister. Sister would offer people more of an insight in how a teen was feeling. Apparently, it depends on the day and who is asking. How the team feels about it all. Plenty imagined Claire would be filled with remorse, upset about the thoughts of ending Helen's life. However, several police officers have since testified that Claire has always been calm, never acting paranoid, frantic like she had often done in her sessions. To top it off, only a few of them have ever seen Claire cry on occasion when she remembers Helen's gone. Whatever the case, the officer said the teen had been responsive and cooperative. It is it can be thought to diagnose mental issues and is sometimes pleading have been campaigning for change for years. Mental health is now something plenty understand and a big issue of physical alignment that can be sometimes be easier to see. That doesn't mean that it's always possible to diagnose. John O'Brien certainly has plenty of thoughts. A psychologist testified that without knowing if Claire is living with any mental issues means it's impossible to talk to about the testimony plan. Even then, he had no idea if Claire was respond to the treatment. Now, John has been left wondering if Claire struggled with her mental health or if it was an act to help her in her plea. One of the biggest things that had got people talking about Claire Mills' crime isn't actually what happened on February 21st. Instead, it's how the internet reacted to the news. The 14-year-old had a fairly large following before she ended her sister's life, but that grew out of control as soon as the world learned what had happened to Helen. In fact, it took just days for Claire to receive almost 11,000 more followers on TikTok, as everybody wanted to see if they could understand what drove Claire to end her Helen's life. By the time the world learned of the details, Claire's final video had millions of views. It appears that TikTok couldn't get enough of it. Just because she had thoughts of followers didn't mean that everyone was going to see Claire Miller's TikTok page forever. In fact, it didn't take long for a social media site to respond to it all. Like most other sites, it has a strict code of content about that must be adhered to if people want to keep using the site. TikTok eventually told the Daily Beast that it would remove Claire's page and all of her videos as they broke community guidelines. They put it down to the teen. And they enabling violence on or off TikTok. Still, hundreds of people had already saved videos of Claire and have re-uploaded them to various sites ever since her arrest. Some are saying that she actually had a psychotic break, but the fact of it is, let me see here. Claire, now 16, was in court with her lawyers in June 2022 to determine the outcome. Sadly, for the teenager and her family, the judge ruled the worst result for her team. Claire was being tried as an adult. Entering a plea of not guilty also makes it for now that she will be going to a full trial. The horrific news, Claire Miller's crime was enough to shake her neighborhood. No one could believe that the teenager went through with ending her sister's life, let alone how she ended Helen's life so brutally. However, it seems that it wasn't just the crime that they that saw the judge rule as her as an adult. Instead, Judge David Workman ruled that there wouldn't be enough time for Claire to be mentally rehabilitated. Doctors argued that Claire could be treated while in prison. However, the prosecution claims that the teen would be released in 5 years when she would be 21 years of age and would be a danger to society after her sentence is complete. It may come to no a little surprise that taking someone's life is a first degree, the most serious charge brought against someone in Pennsylvania. So, I wonder, that was the last thing on that one, and that was a long, long one for me. But that's about it. Let me see if they actually prosecuted, because this was done in October 23rd, 2022. And I will see if we get a quick update and see if she is. She eventually pleaded guilty to third degree murder, and she's serving up to 40 years in prison. So, yeah. So she's in prison now. It's so strange. And this is going to be my look at you guys moments on this. Mental health is one of the things not me personally. I mean, I've had my ups and downs like everybody else. We all have like days that we wish we can't get out of bed or whatever. But in hindsight, there are people out there that can't stabilize their minds. And eventually I find them. I don't know why. But just as a funny hee-hee-ha-ha type moment, that was that about it. But there are people out there that we still don't understand the full extent of a person's mind, where they come from. God, allergies. It's a horrible thing. And coming from my neck of the woods, I mean, my mother was a manic depressive, bipolar. She eventually ended her life when I was like 21, a month before 9/11. My sister has a lot of mental health issues, and I'm surprised I don't. It's weird how that goes. I even my own daughter has a lot of mental illness issues. But here's the thing: take care. If you feel that, well, one, if you feel like everybody's an asshole to you, it might be you. So get help. That's one thing you should look forward to. But I mean, it can even be like dementia that happens, and that when you get older, you end up like thinking weird stuff, not like murder, but your mind's not right. And a lot of the issues that we have today, I mean, it's all around us. There's a lot of mental illness that we need to help out with and help those people that are mentally ill get the help that they need. And hopefully they do. If you do need to get help, or if you need mind tune up, get that tune up. It's easy. Sometimes you always got to remember the whole thing with the plane. Before you can put a mask on somebody else's, you got to put the mask on yourself first, to secure yourself, so you can help out with the rest of the world. But other than that, everybody, thank you all for listening. Thank you all for watching. And this is Psychos and Sociopaths, Claire Miller.